This is one of my favorite times of the year. I like the holiday season. A lot of people like the holiday season, but I especially like Thanksgiving. And it's not just because of the food. The food is a great part of it. I've got great family memories of times when we would be living all across the country and we would come back to my grandmother's and share with the larger part of the family different types of food and enjoyment. But of all the holidays, this one finds its place repeated over and over again through Scripture. Because Scripture constantly tells us that we are to be about the giving of thanks. Now, we shouldn't have to be reminded to give thanks, should we? Of course not. And we should be people, especially those who are Christians, should be people who are overflowing with the giving of thanks because of what God has done for us. When you consider, for just a moment, an ungrateful heart, an ungrateful spirit, how does that affect you when you're around someone that can't find gratitude in anything? Well, you either don't want to be around that person or you find yourself obtaining a negative attitude. But when you're around someone that is always finding a reason to be thankful, that also can be contagious. My aunt, who turned 90 this past September, she and our sweet Ruby Lee share a birthday, year and day and everything, broke her leg on the way back from my son's wedding in 2020. She had been complaining of her leg bothering her. Apparently, she had a fracture and did not know it just above her prosthetic knee. And when she stepped up on a step to go into her house, the bone snapped in two. She fell backwards into her son-in-law's arms, who kept her from falling to the pavement. The surgeon who did her work misset her leg. And she went back to another surgeon, an orthopedist, who said, "There's because of your age and your heart and everything, there's nothing we can do about your leg." She's been confined to a wheelchair ever since. Had to go through rehab to learn how to lift herself off of the chair and into another chair or onto the potty or to all the different things that she has to learn to do that she's never had to do before. Her shoulder joints are basically worn out because of her age, their use, and now from pushing herself up and down on the wheelchair. I speak with her about once a week. She never fails to mention how grateful she is for what everybody has done for her, for her daughter and son-in-law who moved in to take care of her, for what my brother and I have done for her through the years. And she goes through this long litany of things that she's grateful for. She doesn't complain. And I always get off the phone better than I got on the phone with her. Beautiful spirit of this woman. And we could learn a lot from that idea, from that concept. And so I want us to take a few moments this morning to talk about being thankful in all circumstances. No matter if it's illness, financial difficulty, relationship issues, political turmoil, whatever it is that is happening in this world or happening in our lives, we can always find a reason to be thankful. And we should. Because a watching world needs to hear that from us. Because the world is never satisfied and never stops to truly be thankful. Perhaps we can be that contagion for them. Would you pray with me, please? Thank you, Father, so much for today and for the opportunity to give pause and to be thankful. We are grateful that our nation does set aside this time. But Father, we need to turn to you daily and multiple times a day in gratitude for all that you have done for us individually, for our families, collectively, and for this country. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die for us. And we appreciate so much the many ways that your love overflows into our lives. Father, we ask you to be with us as we open up your word. Would you speak to us, Father, we ask. Help us to see what you desire for us to see. And help us to be more thankful day by day. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 17, the good Dr. Luke gives us an account that does not appear in the other gospel accounts. In Luke 17, beginning in verse 11, we read about 10 lepers. Now, it happened as he went to Jerusalem, speaking of Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." So it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." There's a lot that we could glean from this text this morning, but I want to focus on just a couple of things. But I want to point out some things before we dive into the text. First of all, you may recall that by vocation, Luke was a physician. He was a great historian. And what he wrote in Luke and what he wrote in Acts, archaeologists have repeatedly confirmed with findings over and over again the accuracy of the people and the places and the positions that they held throughout the ancient world. He is an amazing historian, but he also was an incredible doctor. When he describes ailments, he describes them with different Greek words than the other gospel writers do because he was more technical because of his vocation. He also brings some things out to our attention. One of the things that we will take note of is this dreaded disease of leprosy that affects the appendages, the skin. If you have ever seen any photographs from leper colonies, you will notice that people, their noses will have fallen off, their ears, they will lose their fingers, because basically the body rots from the outside to the inside. And the extremities are lost first. It also affects places like the vocal cords. And this is where I want us to focus. When you look in verse 13, we read from Luke, they lifted up their voices. A person with extreme leprosy can barely speak at a whisper. In order to be heard, they all had to say the same thing at the same time to make it loud enough to be heard. So they lifted their voices together so Jesus would hear them. And we notice that Jesus healed them. When the one returns, I want you to take note of what Luke does. Verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned," and what does Luke say? "With a loud voice, glorified God." Do you know what Luke just told us? That his healing was complete in that moment. He was completely healed by God. There was not a little bit over here or a little bit over here that was left over. Even his vocal cords had been restored. And he was able to lift up a loud voice. It's remarkable what God had done through his son Jesus Christ. But where are the 9? Were their vocal cords not healed? Were their appendages not restored? That's the question that Jesus has in that moment. The disease of leprosy was so horrible that in the ancient times, the times of Jesus in particular, the disease was actually referred to as sin because of the horror of the disease. Can you imagine having a disease that is not your fault? And when it comes upon you, everybody looks at you and says you're a sinner because you have this disease. That disease is actually the embodiment of sin in your life. You're an outcast. You have to stand at a distance. You can't come near people. And for the rest of your life, you can only hang around with lepers. Because you can't hurt a leper. But you can hurt those around you by getting them sick. But they lifted those voices together. And the Samaritan who returned, notice what Jesus says, was there no one besides this foreigner? In other words, what were the other nine? The other nine were Jews like Jesus. And they could not even bring it upon themselves. According to the law of Moses, you had to, when you were cleansed, you had to go show yourself to the priest. What did Jesus tell them to do? Go show yourself to the priest. And they were so busy going to do that that they forgot to give thanks. How often do we in our lives find an answer to a prayer that we have prayed for a long time and we don't stop in that moment and focus on the first and most important thing, and that's giving thanks to God for the answer? But this Samaritan glorified God. He gave allegiance to God. He put God in his proper place upon the throne. And he giving him thanks. You see, we need to be about giving thanks in all circumstances. What about the things that you've been spared in your life? How many things have you been spared? Well, you know, have you ever gone through an intersection and almost got hit and didn't get hit? Did you return and give thanks to God? Did you ever have a difficulty with your health and you went to the doctor fully expecting the worst and you don't get the worst news? Did you return thanks to Him? When things are not going well with whatever your circumstance of life is, can we find a reason to give thanks? There's always a reason to be thankful. When we gather around the table on the Lord's Day to remember the body of Christ given for us, the blood that was shed for us, when we in remembrance do that, how can we not be grateful? That should permeate every second of every minute of our day. Because we've been saved from an eternity of punishment, of exile, out of the presence of God. We've been saved from that. And regardless of what happens in this life, keeping our focus on Christ, we know that our eternity is secure. We look to Him. We walk in the light as He is in the light, that we may continually receive that cleansing, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we take our focus off of Him, then where does our giving of thanks go? Too many times we return to that state in which we existed prior to coming to know Jesus and the forgiveness of our sins. From our scripture reading a few moments ago, appreciate Briggs taking care of that for us this morning. It's exciting when our young men get up and participate in our services, and we're grateful for their efforts. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is writing to the evangelist Timothy and giving him instructions that we find. Down in chapter 3, Verse 14 and following, he says, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." Paul is, in that moment, by the Holy Spirit, just told us why he wrote this letter. Now think about it. I'm writing that you may know how to, you ought to conduct yourself in the church, the house of God. That's why I'm writing to you. Are these instructions any less important than they were then? Well, of course not. Matter of fact, it might even be more so because we don't have an apostle walking around to come over and tap us on the shoulder, straighten us out if we're doing wrong. So we need to pay attention, especially when he says something like that. So when we look in these first four verses of chapter 2, we read, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Notice how prayer and the giving of thanks are linked together in Scripture. As we go through many different Scriptures, we will see those things connected together. Why is that? Because we, of all people, should be the most thankful. When we pray to God, do we want? Me? Or do we, like the Samaritan, stop and return and give thanks to God? All circumstances, we should be thankful. If nothing else, we should be thankful that God's given us the avenue to petition Him for whatever our specific need is in that moment. Thank you for allowing me. And I know that the folks that are here, that you're not like that, but you know there's a lot of people that don't like getting voicemail. When they call, they want you to answer right then. But I know nobody here has ever been disgruntled over that, right? I'm speaking with my tongue in cheek. Because when we call, we want to hear a person on the other end, right? Or else we wouldn't be calling. But sometimes you get voicemail. Do you know when you call God through this avenue of prayer, intercession, supplication, that you never get His voicemail? He always answers, and He answers before it even rings because He knows it's you. Can you thank Him for that? Can you thank Him that no matter what's going on in the world, wars and rumors of wars, abuse, crime, all of the things that happen in life that are negative things, no matter what's going on in life, when you stop and acknowledge God, He listens to you as if you were the only thing that's happening on planet Earth. Can we give thanks for that? I think that we can. You see, a thankful heart is a prayerful heart, and a prayerful heart is a thankful heart. Talk to God. Thank Him. You know, Jesus in that moment, as He's healing those lepers, He says, "What about those other guys? Where are they?" How many times do you think it passes through God's mind when one of us stops to give thanks and He goes, "Well, where's Mark? Did he not stop to give thanks?" We need to be thankful always. And there's a lot to discourage us in this world. But is there any discouragement that comes upon you in this world that is greater than the encouragement you receive from God? And the answer is no. We should be thankful. We should find gratitude to be a daily thing that comes upon us. In Psalm 116, as we consider this idea of offering up prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving, the psalmist here writes some very encouraging words. This is an anonymous psalm. We don't know who wrote it. But we can see the heart of the person is a heart towards God. Look at verse 1. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. What is the attitude toward the God, the Lord? I love him. He heard me. Coming down a little bit further, we can see some of the things that are going on because there's some in between. We won't cover all of it, but you can see that there was a threat of death in his life. But when we get down to verse 12 through 19, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation. I will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Now, there's a whole lot that we could talk about from here, but I want us to just focus on three things. First thing is that the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him. Does the Lord hear you when you cry out to him on behalf of a loved one who is sick? On behalf of someone who is bereaved. On behalf of a distressing situation with our jobs. He hears us. No matter when we call out to him, the Lord hears. But notice, in that in-between section, there's great distress, there's impending death. He says, the pangs of Sheol, the grave, have come over me. You know, there are some things that are worse than dying. And for some of us who love our lives more, we can't imagine what that would be. But sometimes staying in a constant state of distress and anguish and failing health and all of these things, dying for a child of God, we read, is precious in the sight of the Lord. Because we know where we're going to be. And whatever the ailment is that we leave behind does not follow us there. So what shall I offer to God? What shall I render to him for all of his benefits? And the one thing that stands out that the psalmist writes, I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving to him. He views the giving of thanks as something that is so important that he calls it a sacrifice. That he's offering it up to him as if it's worship. As if he has sacrificed an animal. He is giving this sacrifice to God. He's not just saying, thanks God. Go somewhere else. Now, many of us have probably not found ourselves in the impending peril that this psalmist found himself. Maybe some of us have, but most of us probably have not. So what shall we render to him for his benefits to us? Should we not be grateful also? This offering, this sacrifice of thanksgiving is something that should be present in our lives constantly. You know, if we are exhibiting thankfulness in our lives, how is that going to affect our psyche? How's it going to affect our attitude towards the things in our lives? If we're always looking for a reason to be thankful rather than a reason to gripe. I think that's, baseball is now the second national pastime. I think griping and complaining is the first national pastime in America now. We need to be thankful. We need to be grateful. We, the people of God, need to lead the way. because if anybody has a reason to be thankful, it ought to be us. We did a series on Philippians here several months ago, and by way of reminder, we won't spend an enormous amount of time here, but I would invite you to return to chapter 4 in the great epistle of Philippians. In verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We talked about this verse and these two verses a number of times. But pay close attention to verse 6. He says, everything with prayer and supplication, that's our request, that's our petitions to God. But he uses a modifier. And what is that modifier? With thanksgiving. Once again, tying together this idea of prayer and thanksgiving. Our anxieties many times can be assuaged, even cured, when we focus on the problem solver rather than on the problem. There's a release from the burdens that we have, because we're giving those things to God and we're being thankful for the things that He has blessed us with. Perhaps even thanking Him in advance for the answer to our prayers. But in doing so, it begins and then continues to reinforce the peace of God in our lives that passes all understanding. Prayer with thanksgiving. We should be so thankful. Our blessings are overflowing. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. We began our service with that verse this morning in our call to worship. We see in Philippians the peace of God that comes through our prayer with thanksgiving. Here, this peace of God is in our hearts, and we're to let it rule and reign in our hearts, not just give it a part-time residency. The peace of God is there because we were called to that peace. In one body, the one body, as he's writing in Colossians, that's the church, that's us. And be thankful. Why are there so many reminders to be thankful in the Scripture? I imagine it's because it's so easy for us as God's people to not be thankful. Our gratitude, in many cases, is a learned behavior rather than a natural one. But when we learn it, when it is pressed down upon us to be thankful in all circumstances, no matter what is happening, when we are thankful, eventually it will become our go-to response. We won't even have to think about it. We can be thankful. And if there's nothing else that has ever happened in your life that is good, the fact that Jesus came and died for you is the reason you should be thankful 24 hours a day. Amen. There is no greater gift. And if no other blessing came into your life besides the forgiveness of sins through the shedding of His blood and your obedience to that gospel of His, if no other blessing ever came to you, it's more than you deserved, and it's something that should engender eternal thanksgiving in your heart. Are you thankful? I hope that you are. Return to God. Fall down at His feet, praising Him, giving Him thanks. You see, our disease of sin that was cured by the blood of Jesus is an even greater disease than that of leprosy. should our response not be at least what he responded to Christ with? This morning, maybe there are things in your life that are keeping you from focusing on the good things that have happened. Maybe this Thanksgiving is just not a natural process for you because there's so many things that Satan's throwing at you. Can we pray with you? Can we pray for you, with you, alongside you? Can we embrace you in this moment and help you to see how blessed you truly are in the body of Christ? We're going to sing a song in just a moment, and we'll invite you to come so we can pray with you and encourage you this morning, regardless of your circumstance. But maybe you're here today and you've never named the name of Christ, and you've never accepted that gift that was offered on Calvary, the opportunity to have your sins washed away. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you prepared to turn from the sins in your life, repent of the things that you've done that are against God's will, and turn to the cross, embrace that sacrifice of Jesus? Will you confess his precious name before men and be buried in water, that is, immersed, for the remission of your sins, having your sins washed away, clothed in Christ, raised up to walk in a new life, a forgiven life, a life where now the peace of God can rule in your hearts and you can truly be thankful? Can we help you with that today? Whatever your need is, please make it known to us as together we stand and sing.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live with him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and though thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done. Please be seated.
Brother Robert Wilson, he comes here and it's a prayer that he's requesting. I think that all of us that has grandchildren now, we can relate to that. He's asking the congregation to pray for his grandson, Nikhil Joseph, and that he will grow strong in the faith in God, that he would also be a servant of God in all that he does, and where he's grew up, that he's playing football, that he will praise God too, that he will glorify God. I think that that's a prayer for all of us, that for our children, that would be strong in the Lord, that will grow in faith and knowledge of the Lord. Let us pray.